Checklist.io Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. We're your hosts. I'm Rachel.
I'm Delia.
And in this episode we're going to be talking about can money
buy you
love or happiness?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can make this a 1 minute episode and say no, no. But we're going to get into it.
We can dive into it really quick.
Yes. Okay, so you were kind of talking about this earlier. So did you have a take you wanted to start us off with? Or
I've been reading a lot of different things because there's been like some high power heavy hitters that have been getting divorced here lately in the media. And I mean heavy hitters.
Yes.
And it goes to show you that a lot of the time when you're going through things and you think that, well, if I had more money, then things would be better or different. And then it goes to show you that no matter what's going on in your life, money is not going to buy you happiness.
Yeah,
because the happiness is internal. And if you don't have that, it doesn't matter if you have 10 Rolls Royces, Lamborghinis, yeah, Bentleys parked outside. If you're not internally happy, that's not going to matter. And sometimes you realize, like, life is short. Does this really have any value? And I don't know if that's what happens in the minds of, like, the Bezos of the world or the Gates.
Yeah.
So for me, I really think about what it is that you wish for and what it is that is given and what you receive and how you take from it or what you do with it. And the happiness.
You know, one of the best things I ever heard people say whenever I encounter someone that looks like they're living the jet setter life.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say, okay, time to ask the age-old question, does money buy happiness? We know it can't buy love in
right,
a lot of ways. But does it buy happiness? And one answer was given to me, and I actually heard it from a few people. And it was like, well, it doesn't directly buy happiness, but it buys a whole lot of things
right,
that make me happy. And it's all momentarily,
right,
of course. So there is some kind of peace or things that can come with the money. But in terms of relationships, though, yeah, we're here to tell you, no, there's a huge price to pay. And like Delia's saying, everything you're seeing in the news right now with the top 1%ers getting divorced and things like that, their divorce rate's just as high as anybody else's divorce
rate.
They
really are, yeah.
And it boils down to they're having the same human fundamental issues in their relationship that you have, that we had. Like, it just is. At the end of the day, no matter how much money you have, mm-hmm, no matter how many people you're saving around the world with your power and influence,
mm-hmm,
do you, as a human, as a woman, require your husband to be faithful?
Right. And
respectful,
you know what?
Whatever.
And you know what? From an article that I also read, let's just say, and I mean, because it's kind of been on the news with,
yeah,
the whole Gates and Melinda Gates and Mr. Bill over there. I had read that they had an understanding that,
yep,
he had a mistress. And that's the kind of understanding.
It was like an ex-girlfriend.
Right. And these are like high-level men that feel entitled to do these types of things because, you know, they have the type of means and the money to buy whatever it is that they want. And I think as a woman, you know, you have to value yourself, your integrity, your dignity, because at the end of the day, you can't buy those things at store,
no,
shelves. So an Hermes bag is beautiful, but you can't throw dignity in there. You can't, you know, you,
yeah,
can't go buy a box of dignity or,
no,
any of that, or even self-respect.
Yeah.
So when you really think about, you know, the high hitters or the heavy hitters of the world, you think, is this worth it for me? I mean, I've never been in a position to be with the 1%er, like, you know, the billionaire. I've never been, but I know that nothing in life is for free. That's,
yeah,
for sure.
No.
Whether it's me or anyone or any human being walking the planet, you're going to pay for something.
Yep.
Everything in life has a price tag.
Has its price.
And you will pay, my dears.
You do have to ask yourself, what are you willing to compromise? Because when people say you got to compromise in a relationship, well, when you're dealing with those types of relationships, the compromise might not be what you expect it to be.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, Kanye West said it best when he said, you know, there's a million yous, there's only one of me. And that's
right,
literally how these people think when they make their mega fortunes.
Right.
I mean, you got guys on the streets making 100K thinking that.
Right.
Right? So,
right.
With
right,
their like BMW 3
But at
series
the end of the
whatever,
day, the, you know, the BS is still the same though.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's still going to be the one woman or the couple of girls that think if she has everything that I want, well, I don't have a problem being with him. So guess what? He's okay with having the second wife or the mistress or whatever it is. I mean, not a second wife, but a mistress.
Yeah.
So at that moment, you have to make that determination. Am I okay to be the second woman? Am I okay with, you know, getting this life provided? Like, if you do not have your own means and there's a higher life that you're seeking and you are being delivered that higher life, are you okay with being the second one, the first woman, but sharing?
That's what I was going to say, but sharing, because there's a gentleman that we listen to right out of Atlanta.
Yep.
We spy on his show. It's an interesting show, but he made a statement where he was saying, look, ladies, you want to be married to a high-level man, you want to be dating a high-level man, whatever it is, let's just say you're the wife. At the end of the day, he was actually speaking to the men, and he was saying, you don't treat your wife the way you treat the side one.
Right.
And like that, so he considered cheating.
Right.
Giving the wife and the girlfriend the same car. Right? Yeah. Or like buying them both a house. Right. And that, so to him, he's like, that's cheating.
Right.
And he was saying, women, you should be upset about that.
Right.
If that's happening, that's cheating. And he was saying that, but if you marry a man with money or who's high level in your view, and you're the wife, and then the other one is just here, maybe he bought her handbag, or maybe he's just sleeping with her, whatever he's doing. He's saying we shouldn't be concerning ourselves with that because the man is just exercising his options. And I'm like,
what? You're like, did he not exercise it before he actually got on his knee and decided to get married?
Like, isn't
right?
that what dating is?
But
is
I think that marriage, as of now, I think marriage is so twisted. Ugh. I think it's just, it's literally a partnership, which, okay, marriage is a partnership, but now it's not looked at like we used to back in, I don't know, 50, 60 years, right? I mean, we have come a long way. Back in those days, you just looked for a good companion,
yes.
someone that can, you know, bear 10 kids. I get it. We're not in those times now.
Yeah.
However, you have to really make that determination. You're living now times, the times of today. Are you okay with, you know, buying you the happiness, flying you out to Miami first class, flying out to Europe first class, beautiful handbags, but knowing that no matter what, you're never going to be his
the
number
only
one.
You'll the number never one, but be you won't be the only one. I feel like you'll be the number one,
but not the only one. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rachel, 100%.
Yes.
So are you okay with that? And that's the question that one has to answer. And in the past, because of the positions that I've been in, I've always told anybody that will hear me, listen, the handbags are beautiful. The shoes are beautiful. The fact that he pays for your car is awesome. Believe me, that gets old.
Yeah.
Because if you're being monogamous to a person, but he's not being monogamous back, and he thinks that he's going to shut you up with a handbag, what is your worth?
Yeah.
What is your worth? If you don't care and you have no self-respect, now if that's what you decide to do, then by all means do it if that makes you happy. But at the end of the day, what is your dignity, your respect, your self-worth? What is that worth?
So I just had a thought. We talked about in a previous episode about the whole like prostitute thing.
Right.
And that men are not paying a prostitute to have sex with them. They're paying her to leave.
Right.
So I just had an aha moment.
Tell me.
And maybe we need guys to like chime in. We're going to be, by the way, progressing into having men when we go live do the Q&As with us. So we're working on it. So stay tuned for that. Men, if you're listening, the three guys.
The
three guys.
We've been saying not three, it's five guys, remember?
Yeah. So wherever they're at over there, if you're listening, you know, we'd love for you to like, you know, DM us and let us know that you'd want to be on the show and to give the male perspective. But let me tell you that right there is a big thing. I actually lost my train of thought. What was I going to say?
Let's get it back. I think what you were going to say is for the guys to chime in on
the aha moment is the men basically pay the prostitutes right to leave, not to have sex, but to leave.
Of course.
What if, so my aha moment's now, and guys, again, you can chime in on this. What if the whole giving us the cars and the clothes and the lifestyle and everything is for us to just accept it, meaning that's our payment. So the girl, the knight, her payment is to be able to leave, no attachments.
Right.
What if in the man's view, you know, marrying us, putting the ring on it, we should be so lucky that he chose us, so to speak, right? But also, I got you the car. I got you, look at the house we live in. Look at everything I'm buying you. I took you on trips around the world.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, that's our payment for looking the other way.
Right.
Maybe.
I mean,
I think they see it like that in some way.
I really hate to chime in on the my perspective, but I've been in a position like that where it was like, look at the things that you own, what you drive, look at what you walk into. You have housekeepers. And yeah, that's amazing and that sounds awesome, but at the end of the day, my lifetime's short and my dignity's worth a lot more than that. And so that's when I was like, I don't really care about any of this stuff. At the end of the day, if I should die today, tomorrow, I can't take any of this stuff with me. So to me, the price I had to pay was with my dignity, my self-respect.
To look the other way.
And believe me, there was a lot of moments where I did look the other way. And it was because I didn't want to break what I had in my marriage, my whatever fortune, little fortune that we had made. We were by no means at Bill and Melinda Gates' fortune, by no means. But for what we had, it was pretty significant. But it wasn't enough for me to say, I'm willing to look the other way. I thought my dignity is worth way more.
You know, but as someone that married a man who had nothing, my case, and he did his best, you know, to build something, make something of himself, he was 100 times better than the way I found him. The way I left him was 100 times better. But at the end of the day, even in that situation, there's an expectation to just look the other way because the kids rage, you know, our families rage. Like, there's just this whole thing. I mean, to the point where Delia and I have talked about this as well, you know, okay, I get the strength to walk away, you get the strength to walk away. And then they're circling back. What about our grandkids that we don't even have yet? It's like, you know, there's always like this ransom situation or a toll that you're paying. And it doesn't matter if the guy is just barely getting by and making ends meet and that you're busting your butt as a waitress to contribute to the household. Like, something happens with the guys where they just start to feel like
empowered.
Yeah, entitled.
Empowered. At the end of the day, though, I think it boils down to something very simplistic. Whatever, and I always say this to anybody that will hear me, you know, internal happiness is internal. So it has nothing to do with any exterior experiences. Whether you're in Europe and that's been your long life dream, but if you're not a happy person where you think everything's just like, this sucks, everything that is given to you, anything that is provided for you, or whether you provide it for yourself, which, you know, a lot of women can do for themselves, thankfully, but it's always nice to have a good partnership. But my point is that no matter what it is, happiness is an internal experience. It has nothing to do with, again, the Rolls Royces, the Bentleys, the private jets. If you're not a happy person, it doesn't matter what is given to you. You're never going to find that happiness. So if you are happy under a tree reading a book and just eating like a simple apple, and you realize like the little things that have not the highest monetary value are the simplest things that you find joy.
Yes, yes.
Then you'll find joy in that. But at the end of the day, I think that we are just so conditioned to look at Facebook, to look at Instagram, to look at like all these social media platforms where you're under the impression that these people are living this high life and you're maybe kind of close to it. You're probably living a better life, but you think that person is so lucky and you don't know what they have to pay in order to receive that.
Yes.
You have no idea how they're paying for that.
There's a funny meme that I saw that says, this is what we see. And it's like the girls in the bikinis on the yacht, like with the wind blowing in their hair and they're all, but this is the men that are paying for that. And it's these like,
it's like the guy with the
big belly. God, like 80-year-old, but like pot belly man boob having like leathery skin, like Speedo wearing dudes, you know, these sugar daddies. And it's like, oh, that's a price in itself. That's a price in itself.
But some people can look the other way on that. Like 100%. And you know what? I would think, what about my dignity? Like, what about my self-respect?
I'd be like never paying the light bill. It's like in the dark.
Right, exactly. You're just like, just turn off the lights on me. I don't want to see this man. And that's horrible.
But imagine this, ladies. Okay, so you're probably thinking, yeah, you know, I think I'd rather have the yacht. I think it's easy when you haven't had that life to be able to say that. But let me tell you something. You need to imagine that you're on this beautiful yacht, you know, and you're living your best life. The Instagram photos are legit. And while you're just basking in the sun, your husband is on the other end of the boat grabbing your best friend's freaking ass, like hitting on the server.
Right.
You know, just making you look like you have zero value.
Right. Zero respect, too.
And zero respect. You have to just really, like, like dial in on that, and that will give you a taste of what we're talking about that you have to deal with. And guess what you want to do? You don't want to act all crazy and get mad and throw things and break things. You want to keep it calm, cool,
collected,
keep it cute, like they say. And then what happens? It keeps brewing and festering and growing.
Exactly.
Until you're Melinda Gates.
And you're like, I'm out.
I'm out.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've had experiences also where, you know, the guys are just disrespectful and they don't care that the wife is there and they're making, you know, these little like snarky remarks. And you think, she doesn't deserve that. I'm not going to feed into that. But imagine the type of things that she has to deal with and has to listen to or what have you. It's not for me. But I do feel that, again, you know, happiness is an internal experience. And can money buy happiness? Yeah, it could.
It could buy some happy things. That's for sure.
It could. It's perspective. I think it's all perspective. Life is perspective at the end of the day. So. Yeah.
You know, especially if, you know, I've met a couple women that they came from literal nothing and in difficult countries or whatever, and they came to California and they scored, you know, lottery ticket status. They're coming with such a level of gratitude that they don't like what they see necessarily, but also they just feel grateful. And so everybody has their own view of this situation. Some women resort to just telling themselves the age-old story. All men do it. All men are the same. Might as well keep the one
Holy moly. Oh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Let's sip tequila.
Oh, woo! Somebody's already been sipping it. Mm-hmm. These are like hot topics. So they're, you know. I actually, I've been in and out of relationships, obviously. I've been single for a long time. And I think right away for me, if I know it's not going to go anywhere, it's like, don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. Let's not waste each other's time. And I'm really quick to just be very kind and say, you know what, it's not going to work. And so I recently, you know, ran into someone that, you know, husband has, he's very well-to-do and has like just a lot of restaurants everywhere. And she looks like she lives a high life. They have beautiful cars. They have, you know, beautiful home and the family and everything. And she basically told me that all men do it. And so it's like, pick your, like, your devil.
Pick your devil.
No, it's like, everyone lives in, is it, in hell? So it's just a different devil is what I've heard. In Spanish, it sounds way better, by the way. But basically, this is what she said. And she's like, well, I'm not going to leave him. And I've been with him for so long. All men do it. So why would I leave him and let somebody else take advantage or, you know, have the lifestyle that I'm living and I'm going to give that up for somebody else? She's basically looking the other way. And for me, it was a little difficult because there was a moment there where I thought, is it really just like that? Because for me, I don't look at life this way. For me, I feel like a lifetime is a short time. And I always say to anyone that will hear me, you know, I'm not here for a long time. Literally, I'm here for a good time, meaning I'm going to make the best out of this lifetime. And I'm going to laugh and I'm going to enjoy it. And if I should be alone, I'd rather be alone than in bad company.
Yes.
Period. And that doesn't, and I don't really even care if it has nothing to do with like the fancy cars and the house and this. I can do that for myself. And if I should find a partner, then great, bring them on.
Yeah, I think, you know, absolutely. And I think that, you know, going into it, like how you go into it together, what kind of understanding you have, if you're going into it with love, you know, there's an expectation, you know, you want to be the only person in their life.
Right.
You are committed to being the only person in his life, you know? And so I think it really depends on the starting point.
Right.
In order to call it a true betrayal, because so many women, they just get so caught up in this guy is loaded. I lucked out. He loves me. I love him too, or whatever the situation is. And they don't get too hot and heavy into the topic of, I want you to know that if you decide to go out and step out, I'm not going to put up with that. Like, that is a rare, if ever, conversation that comes up when you got the ring or whatever. Because to you, you're just like, you're approaching the goal line.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is it. I'm not going to ruffle feathers. I'm not going to shake the boat. And I think that a lot of people, women, feel like they get put in that position. They put themselves in that position to just get so, oh my gosh, it's so dreamy. Yeah. But then once they're in, it's like, oh, don't you dare do this. Don't you dare do that. But it's like, where were the rules of engagement before?
And Rachel, that's so awesome that you're saying that. And I think that that's that's the problem, because we don't sit down and put down the rules and say, hey, this is unacceptable for me and for you. We are together. We're exclusive. And if this man is a high power man and he's telling you, hey, you're not the only one, you're going to be my main one, you're not going to be my only one, and you're okay with that, then at that point, it's kind of, then you're accepting that. And I think that there's nothing worse than being in a relationship where you're the last one to find out. So you have to be on the same game plan. Okay, this is what we're doing. Great. This is how we're going to play the game. Great. But if you don't know the rules and they're like basically playing a different game behind your back, I think that's when someone cries foul and says, you know what? Yeah. I didn't know this is how we were playing this.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, that's what happens in relationships.
And granted, they're playing by rules that they don't necessarily want you to play with.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I know for me, I you know, on this particular topic of like cheating or whatever it is, I remember telling one of my in-laws, so they said, what's the secret? Like, how do you guys make it work? And how do you, you know,
right.
He seems so good to you, yeah. And all this kind of stuff. And okay. And I just said, you know, and he was sitting there and I said, I just see it like the man sets the tone and he leads the way. So if he opens the door, I'm going to look through and see what's behind that door too. If he walks the door, I'm going to say, well, let me walk through it too and see what's popping over here.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of giggling a little bit because we're having drinks and he just looked at me. He looked at me from across the room. And I said, the man sets the tone. I mean, a real man won't even dare unlock that door.
I agree.
You know, if there's a door that he doesn't want his wife walking through and experiencing, he should just not even knock on that door, tap on it, open the door, like at all. And so I kind of said that about 9 years in. And I can tell it really stuck with him because he just kind of looked. And I wasn't trying to say, I dare you to cheat on me because I'll cheat on you too. But it was like, as a man protecting his family and his household, if you see value in it, I was saying, well, then don't even think about walking through that door, you know. But when it comes to buying love, you say, okay, can you buy love in that instance? And I think it's really difficult because some people can, like, arrange marriages. I know one couple, I've actually met two in my lifetime, but I know one closely, that they were in an arranged marriage. And they actually genuinely love each other.
Wow.
They have, and so over time, they came to genuinely love each other. So as far as buying love, I wonder how that would work.
Do you think that with arranged marriages, though, there's an understanding through the families, and so it's very not common for them to get divorced as, you know, compared to us normal folks that don't have arranged marriages, we choose our partners. And you have the ability to just out of the marriage versus an arranged marriage. I know that they can still get divorced, obviously.
Yeah,
but
they
I'm saying
do.
It's just a little different because it's more...
Well, they're chosen by the
family,
but I'm using the example of the arranged marriage because they didn't love that person when they met them. They didn't even know them. So if you look at it and go, okay, can money buy love? You go, okay, if you're marrying a rich guy that initially you don't feel any love towards over time, is there some sort of idea that... if arranged marriages could work, that I'll fall in love with him later. You know what I mean? And I've heard some people say, yeah, money can buy love in that sense, because if you stick it out, people will fall in love with each other.
It's kind of veering away from the subject, but on the subject, I feel like it's just as if you have a plant and you water it and you fertilize it and you give it love and you talk to it and you make sure it grows. Then you're going to have some appreciation for the flower. Now, if you're just like, well, they gave me a flower, I'm just going to put it there, like by the side of the window. And once in a while, if I remember to put water in it, then I will. There's no love there. So I think like relationships are the same way. You have to water them. You have to fertilize them. You have to make sure, you have to check in on people. How are you doing? How are we doing? And it has nothing to do necessarily with sometimes with the whole money thing. But to some people, that's a big deal. And it's, they'll be quick to tell you the lifestyle they're providing for you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how lucky you are? Do you know people wish they had your life? Do you know what a lucky girl you are? And at times you think, wow, am I really that lucky? Because I have to put up with you. And
you buy the press. You buy
you
your
know
own
what I
press.
Mean?
Yeah.
And it's not very nice. And so.
But how about the people around? So, like, I know my grandmother, may she rest in peace, on my dad's side, she was so funny because she was just like, after my divorce, just go for money and the love will come. And so on this subject of can money buy love and happiness, that's where I'm kind of going with it, because it's like her 80 years old talking about just focus on a guy with money and the love will happen. And right. so that's kind of where it's like, I wanted to take this conversation full circle to be like, no, it can't buy happiness. It can't buy love, and end it with, but can it, but won't it? How does, you know what I mean? And so thinking about,
I mean, it can, if you're okay with being disrespected, it
that's
can,
the hard part.
It can, if you're okay with, you know, not having dignity for yourself. It can, if you're okay with, you know, the handbags and understanding that at the end of the day, you know, they're empty because you can't put a whole lot in there. And it can, if you're okay with the nice cars and the jewelry and everything that comes along with it, but understanding also that you're being disrespected, you know, maybe
he's like using
you
said, it to attract other people too.
And some of the times I think when it comes to women, they'll see the woman that the man rolls up with and the women
right?
will say, how did she get him and what does he have that I want that she has? Because if you're well put together and you're dressed nice and you smell good, you look good, the women are like, they're worse than men. They're like sharks. They smell blood and they want it. And they're just like, I want what she has. Yeah. What does she have? I want it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it firsthand. And so it just depends on what makes you happy. If you're okay with giving up part of your spirit or part of your soul, or you don't look at it that way, then you're going to be happy and just continue. But if you really put your life into perspective and say, I'm worth more than this, though. I deserve better. I deserve fresh lettuce.
You deserve fresh lettuce.
Then at that moment, you're going to say, I'm out. I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I personally don't think money can buy happiness. I do believe that money is like alcohol or, you know, when they say when someone's drunk, you know, children and alcoholics or whatever.
Say the truth.
Will tell you the truth. But alcohol, for example, amplifies who a person actually is.
Right.
If they have an evil streak, an anger streak that will come out at some point.
Right.
There's all these different things, right, that come out of someone when they've been drinking or whatever. And I have witnessed money absolutely amplify what is at the core of these people.
I agree.
And so if you are already suffer from depression, depression is not going to go away because you have a beautiful house, cars, clothes, and all the things. If you are lonely, it's not going to go away. And let me tell you why. You're going to have a house full of people.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, my dad loved to entertain, but he struggled with this, like, kind of lonely feeling.
Yeah.
He always had people with him. Couples that always have to have people with them and people with them. And at the end of the day, I can tell you so many ladies feel incredibly lonely.
Right.
Even in that environment. So in this, you know, talking about can money
buy
happiness.
But do you think, okay, going back to that, do you think that's why a lot of the women will just, okay, so they have everything that you could ever wish for and more? Is what I've seen, but then they'll go with a personal trainer, right? Because we've talked about this too, though.
Yeah,
men are trifling, but so are women. Okay, I'm not even going to give anyone a pass here. I mean, it's based on every individual, but you know, then you'll see that they'll go with a personal trainer, or they're going to go with the gardener or the pool guy, and they're okay with that because they know what their
tennis instructor.
You know, they know what their husbands are up to, so. It's not going to be a high-valued man. It's just going to be just a guy that's giving them the attention because maybe your high-valued man is not giving it to you. So you see that a lot, too. I don't know that that's happiness, per se. I mean, it could be. You get a little bit of both worlds. You know, you get the man that kind of does you the right way, and then you get the handbags. I don't know.
Oh, my God. You know, it's like one pays the bills, one heals the body, and one's for the spirit. Or I mean,
and one lays down women, the fire.
We would need so many of them just to make the perfect man. It's like not even freaking funny.
Exactly.
But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the message that we wanted to bring to you ladies, just to get the conversation going and keep you
and understand, you know, that happiness is an internal feeling and on period.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the kind of car you drive, where you live, what kind of handbags you got, the kind of shoes. It doesn't really even matter. Happiness is an internal feeling, and if you do not have that, nothing's going to satisfy that. So at the end of the day, make sure you tap into yourself and say, okay, what makes me happy? And sometimes we have to meditate and do the work and do a little prayer and say, Lord, guide me. And if it's not the person that you're with because he's providing a lifestyle, really think about, you know, how short life is. And we think that, you know, we're going to live till we're 80, 85 years old. I mean, that's what you think. You don't know. So all we have the power over is this very moment. So what is making you happy at this very moment? And whatever that is, go seek it, go look for it, go find it. And, you know, understand that outer experience is going to make you happy. You have to make yourself happy.
1,000%.
And that's all I got. So
at the end of this episode, you're going to see our mantra. If you're watching on YouTube, you're going to want to go ahead and give it a screenshot. If you are listening to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform, you can look at the mantra at the bottom of the show notes and take a screenshot. Say that to yourself loud and proud when you need to feel healing and peace and enlightenment in your life. We encourage you to always remember that you deserve fresh lettuce
and nothing less.
Cheers.